97.1.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey everybody, welcome in. My name is Barbara, right here at All Talk Radio, programming at Blue Sky Broadcasting. It's Tuesday, it's time for Speak Up, and thanks for coming along with us today. You know, it's a special day, as always, at the Speak Up table with Sergeant Justin Scotch, who is with the Idaho State Police. And we're going to talk about a lot of things. He has updates for us on various statistics in Idaho, across the state of Idaho, as well as here in the northern counties. And don't think winter is over. We may still have some things for you to be careful about, and some March conditions, and updates on recruiting and training for the ISP if you're thinking about a career in this organization. So all that's coming your way right after our first break. Sit, stay, enjoy.
In Idaho, farming isn't just a profession. It's a purpose. You can feel it in our 11.5 million acres of farmland. You can see it in the nearly 43,000 Idahoans who work in agriculture. You can hear it at our farmers markets. You can count it in the $20.2 billion it brings our state. And you can taste it at your family's dinner table. A lot of farmers in our state rely on Bayer's tools and inventions, because Bayer has a purpose too: to help farmers thrive. Learn more at go.bayer.com/purpose, paid for by Bayer.
For almost 100 years, Adams Tractor has been your trusted partner, helping farmers, homeowners, and businesses thrive with the best equipment, service, parts, and support. Whether you're plowing fields or tackling a weekend project, we bring the power of the number one selling Kubota tractors right to your doorstep. Adams Tractor, a name you can trust, built on 95 years of experience, dedication, and a passion for our community. Get your Kubota at one of our 5 locations today, or visit us online at adamstractor.com.
It's time to prepare for spring, and North 40 Outfitters has all the outdoor power equipment you need to clean up your yard. For a limited time, save up to $500 on Husqvarna Zero Turn or riding lawnmowers. Got chickens? Check out our selection of starter and layer feeds with savings up to $4.50 off. And gear up for fun with up to 20% off turkey hunting essentials. Seasonal savings are on right now at North 40 Outfitters. Outfitting, work, and play.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone. I went through it a while back. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Testnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text. Text SLASH to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fed incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text SLASH to 321-321. That's SLASH to 321-321.
Products and statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or illness.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by: never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project: we never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org.
Hey everybody, welcome in again. Join me, say hello, and welcome to Sergeant Justin Scotch. He's with the Idaho State Police, and he is one of our favorite guests. He's just filled with good information for us. Sergeant Justin Scotch, welcome to the program again.
Hello, thanks for having me again.
Yeah.
Glad to be here.
Excellent. You know, ever since our discussion and my ride along with you last October, I cannot tell you how many people have said, I want to do that. How do I do that? I mean, so how could people, I mean, can people make an application to ride along with one of the troopers on someday?
Yeah, so if you just go to our website, it's isp.idaho.gov. There's actually a section on there for ride-alongs. We do give preference for ride-alongs for people that are trying to hire on, but we do provide those for individuals. And again, if you've ridden, we usually give each person one ride-along, and then unless they're in the hiring process, they'll just get that one usually per year.
Exactly.
Because we have, you know, limited troopers and lots of people that want to go and
and
try their hand at riding along with one of our troops. So,
just go to the website. Give us that website again.
Sure. It's isp.idaho.gov. And there's a section in there for you just to click on ride along request. That gets sent to our office, and then we'll begin the paperwork.
You know, and that makes perfect sense that preference is given to someone who is interested in law enforcement, maybe interested in law enforcement in particular, the Idaho State Police. Since that's one of our topics today, let's just go there.
Sure.
About the training that is available and required. What goes on with training and openings that you have right now?
Right, so we have a very rigorous academy. So it's a paramilitary style. If you are a new officer, you're going to go through our entire academy. If you are a lateral officer, which means you have a certain amount of time as a police officer with another agency, and you hire on with the Idaho State Police, you'll go through about 9 weeks of academy training, and then you'll come up to your district or out to your one of the six districts. You'll complete your field training, and then you'll travel back down to Meridian to graduate with the rest of the class at the Rotunda, which is the Capitol. So, but it's rigorous. It's paramilitary based. The first few weeks can be very strenuous, very stressful, because a lot of people haven't been yelled at before. They haven't been put into a super stressful situation. So we need to see how you're going to react, and also you need to see how you're going to react before, you know, you can be sworn in as a police officer and get that badge, and we expect to go out and serve and protect the citizens of the state of Idaho and people coming to visit, right? It's a tough job, and it's a challenge.
Yeah.
And before you're there and you're charged with protecting the constitutional rights of the people, we have to make sure that you can handle that duty. So that's why we put that stress on them.
Exactly. And just to underline that, the stress is there for a purpose and for a reason. It isn't just like a game and somebody gets to yell at you like a drill sergeant or whatever. It's the same thing that the military is looking for, to stress you to see how you will react.
Yeah. And it's different too. You know, I had served in the Army. I did 6 years. And the stress that we put on is very different from the military,
right?
Because we are not trying to storm hills and defeat the enemy.
Exactly.
We are trying to serve and protect our people.
But it's coming from the same place of knowledge about, for both your own knowledge of yourself and the ISP's beginning to knowledge about you.
Right, because we want thinkers and problem solvers. And how we do that is we get people to think and be able to act through stressful situations. Like, okay, what is my next move here? Because it really is, it's a chess, right?
Yeah.
We have serious crashes. We have robberies, burglaries, thefts, anything you can think of, we're out there. Pursuits, right? We need to make sure that you can make proper decisions in a high-speed vehicle pursuit. And whether you're going to continue to chase the person or you're going to discontinue because of the safety of the public, you have to be able to make those split-second decisions.
Yeah.
And that's only just a small portion of what we do, right?
Exactly. And the field training also, I remember we talked about that one time, that the field training is they ride along for a while and then they're in charge. They move over to the driver's seat.
Right.
And so you've done that. You have been an officer with a training, doing field training with a recruit, right?
Yeah, so I was actually a field training sergeant for a few cycles, but I also went through field training
of course,
back in 2013. And it is stressful, right? It's hard being, first of all, you're in your brand new Dodge Charger, and I was all excited. But I had a person that I didn't really know sitting next to me watching my every move, and I didn't get to put my gear in the car the way I liked because someone sitting in the seat where I would normally store it. So there's a lot of just personal stress there, right? And then you're like, oh, wow, this is my job on the line. If I don't perform well, I could, you know, not succeed. So there's a lot to it. It is stressful, but it is such a great program.
Yeah.
Right? You definitely want that. And I felt confident to go on the road after I completed my process.
So. That's really important to understand why you're being asked to do this, why these things are happening. Did I understand you correctly before we went on the air that you helped out at the academy?
I did.
This last training cycle, what were you doing?
Yeah, so I was one of the training, advising, and counseling officers. We call them. They're TAC officers for sure, but basically.
Start your day off right with a breakfast from Spuds.
So I helped out with that first week, and you know, it's long days. I want to say one of my days was like 17 or 18 hours.
Yeah.
It was a long, long 7-day cycle. But you really get down and dirty with the recruits and just working hard. We're up before them and we go to sleep after them.
Yeah.
So I was up at 4:30 in the morning and I wasn't hitting the pillow till 11 o'clock at night.
Wow.
Because we have to make sure we provide them the best.
Where is this academy located?
So it's our post academy, and that's down in Meridian. So
okay.
Basically Boise area, and it's the Idaho State Police Complex, which also is shares the complex with POST, which is Peace Officer Standards and Training. So that's where all police officers would go for the academy. They either have that one there, there's one up here, and I want to say there's one in Pocatello through the college.
Okay. Another thing that comes to mind that when I did my ride-along with you, Justin, is this whole theme of customer service. It surprised me and it impressed me with the idea that as you approach the vehicle, as you approach the person who's either been speeding or whatever it is that they've been stopped for, on your mind is, in addition to safety and everything else that you're trained to look for, is customer service. Right. And so that's a part of your training. How do you instill, you know, that approach to law enforcement in your trainees and in your graduates, the guys and the ladies that come out of the training?
Sure. Well, you know, everybody has their own opinion on and their own idea of how they want to be as a police officer.
Yeah.
For me, my goal was always when I stop someone, because most of my job is traffic, I want that person to think that was the nicest police officer they'd ever met, right? I'm a firm believer that you can be kind and still be professional and get your job done as a police officer. I don't think we have to be robots. And especially as a state trooper, we wear that campaign cover, right? It's built just like a drill sergeant hat that you would see in the Army or the Marine Corps. I believe the Air Force uses that hat. Most of the armed forces uses that as for their training instructors, right? And it's an intimidating hat, and especially you put the intimidation of just a police officer, right? People are inherently just scared to talk to the police, right? Mm-hmm. And I get that. But then you add the hat, and then you throw on all the gear and the gun and the sunglasses, right? Mm-hmm. And it just adds this recipe.
And that slow approach.
Right.
You've done something, and here he comes.
So, you know, not to go too far on a tangent, but like I don't wear sunglasses when I'm on traffic stops, right? Because I want to lower that level of intimidation.
Yes.
But I try to instill that in the troops and in the recruits when they go through and they continue through their field training process, right? It's like, hey, we can be professional, we can be kind and still get our jobs done and still show, you know, our professionalism, right? Yeah. So be kind to people, right? Treat them with respect. Treat them the way you would want your family to be treated by a police officer. Be nice. And if things go south, right, and there's a stressful situation, or we can always ratchet up our how strict we are. But
right.
we can stay professional and be kind. So I'm very big on that. Yeah. I'm also one of my biggest things I used to tell my patrol team was juice in the squeeze. If the juice is not worth the squeeze, don't squeeze, right?
Right.
So, you know, we have a job to do, but sometimes, you know, use your discretion. Be professional, be kind. That was very important to me.
Yes, and I remember you told me that one of the thoughts that you have as you approach the vehicle is that you want to keep this driver safe.
Yeah.
And not angry and not upset when he leaves you.
Mm-hmm.
So that person will not be, you know, just all upset and now he's driving, right. And now he's driving on the highway with other people.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, right? And nobody wants to get pulled over. And
exactly.
That's our job as state troopers, is primarily traffic enforcement and highway safety enforcement. So the thing is, people don't always know why we're stopping them, right?
Mm-hmm.
People here, you know, I've told people I've made stops for lights out, and they're like, really? Like, really, you're going to make a stop for that? It's like, absolutely. Some people don't know their headlights out.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know their taillights out. They don't know they're dragging their exhaust by It's hanging on by a thread, by a piece of metal, right? So we make these stops. It's not just to pick on people. It's to promote highway safety, right? Because I ride a motorcycle, and I try to think about, if I'm riding my motorcycle, do I want someone with a busted muffler or their taillight's not working or their cover or their load is not covered in their vehicle, and then I take a big piece of something to the helmet or to the face? These are things I think about because I care about the public, and I want them to be safe. And people don't always take care of their equipment, or they don't know their equipment's broken. So that's why even when it's seemingly a minor infraction, that's why we stop. Because mm-hmm. not everybody knows, and sometimes people just need that education.
You know, the other thing, too, is I believe that just seeing a car pulled over with any kind of law enforcement pulling them over and talking to them slows everybody else down. Everybody else becomes super aware. What's my speed? What am I doing? Slow down. Pay attention. So just that one stop that may be for a headlight that's out is going to keep how many, you'll never know how many people didn't have an accident because you were there on the road.
It's an absolute deterrent. And that's why, you know, we keep the lights turning, right?
Yes.
We keep them on and we make traffic stops. Just because you got stopped by a police officer or the Idaho State Police, for instance, doesn't mean you're going to get a citation. Because I know that's everyone's biggest concern is, oh man, I'm going to get a ticket.
Hey, I witnessed it. I saw a lot of people walk away. I'm like, right. Really?
Now, did I issue citations that day?
Yes, you did.
But you know, we all have our own discretion as police officers, and we all make our own limits of what's acceptable for that day or for the traffic environment or the weather, and then what's unacceptable. And,
I love it. People need to hear that.
Yeah, there's different ways to handle a situation, right? I can educate you through a verbal warning, a written mm-hmm. warning, a citation, or in the most serious of aspects, I can take you to jail.
Yeah, right? Get out of your car.
Right, but that is fairly rare.
Yeah.
Unless it's DUI, but like on a just typical traffic stop. You know, it would have to be really serious.
You know, Justin, I'm so glad that you brought up motorcycles because I had that on my list. I was thinking about we're coming into motorcycle season. And to me as a driver, I don't drive motorcycles. You drive motorcycles? No, you ride them.
You ride them,
okay.
Yeah.
They sometimes just kind of come up out of nowhere. They right. weave a little bit. So what kind of cautions would you give both vehicle drivers and motorcycle drivers as we come into this season?
Well, yeah, I can actually say I just rode my motorcycle for the first ride this season, which was fantastic, by the way. It was, what was it, Sunday, I think? It was like 56 degrees or something. It was
yeah.
great. But anyway, the biggest thing is I've heard this before. People see only one headlight, and they think it's just a vehicle with a headlight out, and they don't realize it's a motorcycle. So always be cautious. Give yourself a little bit more distance and time, that reactionary gap before you turn in front of a vehicle. Make sure you're looking ahead. Put your cell phones down. Put your distractions away when you're behind the wheel. But also following distance, too. People will get behind motorcycles, and they don't give them enough room, and then they get hit, and they get pushed into another vehicle. Because we've seen those 3, 4, 5, you know, you name it, how many vehicles are involved in a rear-end collision that get pushed into another vehicle. Primarily, that's because you're just not giving enough room in the between your vehicle and the one in front of you when you're stopped. So those are some of the things. And also cover your load if you're pulling something in a trailer or a pickup bed.
Oh, so it doesn't go flying off.
So it's
going
flying
hit.
Off and hit a motorcycle.
Yeah,
I've been there, done that. That's not fun getting hit by something.
It may hit a vehicle behind you that can do damage to the vehicle, but not to the human being maybe if they stay on the road. But if you hit a motorcycle person, that's going to hit them directly. You talked about running into multiple vehicles. Now, I don't know if you're going to know about this. It seems to me, I just heard a report recently that somebody, this would be in the Coeur d'Alene area, came crashing through, hit vehicle one hit vehicle two. This vehicle just kept going. Does that ring a bell? There were like 4 or 5 vehicles.
I think that
ultimately
was the one that just happened like last week.
Yeah, it was just a few days ago.
Yeah. So it was just north of Lancaster Road, I believe, which happens to be.
What the heck happened?
I don't understand. I truly don't. I'm sure there's some reason behind it.
Well, I was thinking drugs or alcohol.
No, well, there is that. But the Lancaster Road intersection with US 95, so in Hayden, just north of Coeur d'Alene. Happens to be one of the worst intersections for crashes.
Is it a light or it's
huge four-way intersection, right near a big gas station interchange, and there's a coffee shop, but it's I don't want to say it's funny, but it is kind of peculiar that I was reviewing someone, one of our crash reports that a trooper had completed, and I looked at Google Maps, and I brought up the intersection, and coincidentally, on the south side shoulder, there were two police, or two vehicles, and an ISP patrol car there in the satellite image at this intersection because that officer was doing a crash investigation. We happen to have some of the most serious crashes there, including fatalities, wow, in that intersection. And I don't understand it because there's a huge set of traffic lights there. It's a traffic signal. And everything seems timed correctly. I haven't seen any issues with timing in the lights. But it seems like there's a lot of crashes. But just last week we had one. It's called Bakel Road. It's spelled like Bokel, but it's actually Bakel is how you pronounce it. Just north of Lancaster, there was a vehicle that went, basically hit the concrete center median area and crashed into, I believe, five or six other vehicles.
I think that's
a serious crash.
Yeah, it was serious.
Yeah, so that one's still under investigation, I believe, but it was very bad. So.
Wow. All right, we are up to our first break. Can you believe it? Actually, it's our second break, but we're going to take it anyway. Stick around, everybody.
Hi, I'm Austin Polson, a potato, sugar beet, and wheat farmer from Bingham County, Idaho. Farmers have done what's best for our land for generations. So why is the litigation industry threatening our best defense against weeds? Without glyphosate, crop yields would drop, and we'll all see even higher grocery bills. As farmers, we don't need to be controlled, we need to be supported. Keep glyphosate available in our state. Show your support at TakeControlIdaho.com.
Paid for by Modern Ag Alliance in support of Idaho farmers.
Bud's Waterfront Grill. Try their new signature jams, breakfast sandwiches, and tasty scrambles, plus delicious house-made soups and sandwiches. Perfect for a hearty lunch on the go. Spuds is now open 7 days a week, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Got an event? Spuds Catering Options features baskets of sandwiches, large salads, and comforting crock pots of soup. Located on First Avenue in Sandpoint. Check them out online. Spuds Waterfront Grill.
Since 1975, North Idaho Blueprint has been a trusted family-owned business, serving the community's printing needs. Whether you're a contractor, business owner, or a homeowner dreaming of your perfect build, we're here for all your blueprint and printing needs. Located in Hayden and Sandpoint, we specialize in everything from large format printing to blueprints, banners, stickers, and more. For fast, reliable service and competitive pricing, check us out online at NorthIdahoBlueprints.com. Your blueprint to success.
Summer is coming, and the YMCA wants to know, are you ready? Join the YMCA today and make the Y your place to get ready for better health and the place to get fit while making new friends. Plus, get ready for summer camps, learning, and laughter with a variety of programs for the kids and teens. Get stronger and more flexible no matter your age or fitness level. At the Y, there is so much more than classes, pools, and gym equipment. There are programs that support the whole health of your entire family. And right now, you can get started with no join fee, up to an $88 savings, and no contracts. The YMCA is a place where everyone belongs, and getting ready is different for everyone. When you add it all up, a Y membership delivers exceptional value month after month. There's never been a better time to get ready and dive into wellness. Visit YMCAINW.org today. Prorated membership dues apply. Offer good through March 23rd.
At Les Schwab, we've been changing the tire game for more than 70 years. Our Go the Extra Mile service means more hustle, less hassle. We design our own exclusive tires to give you more tires made for the road you drive, less compromise. All backed by America's best tire warranty included with every tire we sell. We're talking more unbeatable tire warranty, less charging you extra, like the other guys. It's why you get more from less. Book an appointment at LesSchwab.com.
News Talk 97.1.
Hey, everybody, we have it going on for you today with Sergeant Justin Scotch. He's with the Idaho State Police, and we're just talking about what they do and what we can do to be safe and to keep everyone else on the road safe. So, Justin, I want to go back to the idea of this, the academy, and how rigorous and interesting the whole training process is. How many openings do you currently have for anybody who's interested in being a trooper or exploring that as a career?
Sure. So it's my understanding here in District 1, which is the five northern counties, we're down 16 troopers. So we have 16 openings. At least that's what I, the information I got this morning from our captain. So we need a lot of people, right? We need people that are willing to work by themselves, sometimes out in the middle of nowhere land in the five northern counties.
That was one of the things that surprised me, that the troopers, you're alone. You're just alone out there.
I think even like, when you were riding along with me, I don't think we had anybody stop out with us. I think because we rode up here in Bonner County, I think Bonner County sheriffs drove by.
You did, yeah.
But in terms of troops, I think I was the only trooper in the county.
Nobody stopped to help, and I was no help at all if anything had happened.
There's certain times where we only have three or four troopers on for the five counties. So we are looking for people that are willing to live out in the various counties of District 1. But we have openings throughout the entire state.
Yes.
So if you're interested, please check our website, which I can provide that again. It's isp.idaho.gov. I believe right now we're just doing continuous hiring, right? So there's an opening where I believe the academy is slated for July. I don't know the exact starting day in July, but that's kind of the tentative month for the start. And then if you just apply online, you'll be able to come and test at the district, do the interview, physical fitness test, and then go through the rest of the process. And then the starting pay for a new officer with no lateral experience or no experience from other police jobs, it's $27.84 an hour.
So almost 28 an hour,
right?
New on the job, and that doesn't include all the benefits of health insurance and et cetera.
Yeah, and we're on pension, so
all of the state Idaho state pension, I'm sure. If anybody's interested in looking into a career, you know, don't wait. I mean, get your applications in, go online, because as Justin just mentioned, there's testing, there's physical fitness, there's interviewing before you even get invited to the academy. Yeah. You have to qualify for that.
Yeah, it's a roughly 4 to 5 month process to get hired on with all of the stuff you have to complete.
There's something else that was in the news recently, that ITD has started like this smaller response vehicle to help people who have trouble on the roadway and it doesn't get all blocked by cars and fire trucks. Tell us about that.
So that is a great partnership. You know, we've always been great partners with the Idaho Transportation Department. But one thing that I noticed when I was working and living down in the Boise area is they had an incident response vehicle. And that vehicle would just travel, you know, the slab, like I-84 within the Boise metro area. And anybody who basically needed help with their vehicle or a motorist assist, they would help out. And they were able to get one of those vehicles up here, which is going to help greatly with our work out on the highways. But again, we've always been great partners. So we can work together through this stuff. They can help handle certain things. If we have a really bad crash, they can help block off the road, or they can help us with, you know, transferring fuel if we can't do it, changing tires or changing wheels or whatever. They'll have more equipment and be more prepared to assist with that, because we can only hold so much in our patrol cars.
Right.
But also with the major highway construction projects, right? We have the additional lanes they're adding to I-90. The Post Falls Exit 7 interchange, which is, you know, it's been a few years long project that's still ongoing. It will be nice to have that vehicle out there, you know, and we'll be partnering with them just to keep the roads safe and help motorists.
So you said something about changing a tire. If I have a flat tire, I have road assistance with my insurance. I mean, so that's who I'm calling.
Right.
So what's the difference for this road assistance with the ITD response vehicle? They help road assistance?
Well, some people, you know, can't afford to pay a tow company, or they don't have AAA assistance, or, you know, they don't know how to change their wheel. So we will do that as troopers. We're trained. We teach our recruits in the academy how to change a wheel on a vehicle. But you know, it's a lot. Some people have a spare tire. They have like what we call the donut, the smaller.
That's me. Steel wheel. I don't even know where it is anymore.
Sure.
It's hiding
someplace. I've changed numerous wheels on vehicles. You know, we don't have capabilities in our patrol cars to actually change the tire off the wheel or patch anything like that. We'd have to get them to a shop, but we certainly can help out people changing out to a different wheel and tire.
So this is for when you need these response vehicles because of construction or an accident or something's going on, or someone who doesn't have insurance. Otherwise, I'm calling my road assistance.
Right. Well, hopefully they at least have the required insurance for the vehicle. But in terms of like a roadside assistance, they'll just be like another patrol unit. So there'll be a roving unit. They'll just be driving around on the main highway. So like I-90 within the metro area, probably state line to about the Veterans Memorial Bridge, which is like milepost 18.
Okay.
And then they'll be working the US 95 corridor pretty much within, you know, the Coeur d'Alene city limit area.
Right.
So that's what they'll be doing. They'll be patrolling.
That's excellent.
Yeah. And they're going to cover for us too, right? Because that is our job as well as traffic safety and traffic enforcement. We also help. We do take a lot of motorist assist and help people with their vehicle issues.
That is excellent. All right. I want to get into statistics. Everybody wants to know what's going on 2023, 24, and so far in 2025. So let's begin with traffic crashes and fatalities. What do you have for us?
So actually our fatality crash numbers are decreasing, which is since 2023. So in 2023, in the state of Idaho, 275 lives were lost. In 2024, the numbers did trend downwards. So we had 240 deaths, which one death is unfortunate, right?
Right.
But we are seeing a decrease. I can tell you, I don't have statewide numbers, but for 2025, we have had two fatalities in District 1, which is our five northern counties. It's so good to see that trending downwards.
Mm-hmm.
I do certainly believe that, you know, we have our North Idaho DUI Task Force, which I've championed for years, been one of their biggest cheerleaders, right? I used to command the team for a few years, and, you know, it changed hands for me. It went to Sergeant Austin Rosedale, who we spoke about earlier. You said you've interviewed his dad times here.
Mike Rosedale, yeah.
Yeah, and then some people have seen Traffic Tip Tuesday with Trooper Troy Tolner. So lots of T's there, tongue twister. He is now the sergeant and the commander over the task force. So you'll see his videos on YouTube where he talks about traffic tips, and they're really great videos. He's now leading the task force for North Idaho.
That is excellent. So fatalities are decreasing, and that is a good thing. Are crashes also decreasing?
You know, I didn't see the crash numbers, so I don't know. We certainly have a lot of crashes in the state per year, and basically the way they're calculated is anything over $1,500 in damage is considered a property damage crash, a reportable crash. So if you can imagine, we have a lot of those throughout the state.
You know,
not just us, it's every agency that reports those.
A couple of things about crash. Is there a certain time of day, like in the early morning hours or the twilight hours, or that these crashes tend happen more often?
I would say, you know, your typical two or more vehicle crash, we call it our prime times, right? So like 7 to 9 in the morning, and then like 3 p.m. to 6 or 7 p.m., those are going to be your highest volume of crashes for like two or more vehicles. You know, I review all of our crashes or all of our cases in the district, and I do see a lot of deer crashes. Those are obviously going to be at nighttime more often.
Twilight.
Because that's when they're primarily moving. So we get a lot of deer crashes or animal crashes around here. But just your two or more vehicle crashes, those are usually your higher numbers are during your prime
kind
times.
Of the traditional commute time.
Your commuting
so if you
times,
can
yep,
avoid
your rush
it,
hours.
Avoid it.
Yeah, or just, you know, follow those safe driving practices.
What about the season? I was thinking about that, and I thought, I really don't know. I mean, what is the more dangerous season? Is it more dangerous in the winter, or is it more dangerous all those tourists that are lost and driving around, or is it holidays? When do these accidents cluster seasonally?
You know, we call it our 100 deadliest days. So basically from Memorial Day to Labor Day, those are the most dangerous times.
The summertime.
On the roadway, yes. So the summer times we have higher numbers, higher volumes of impaired driving. You have all your major holidays, influx of people coming into the state for vacation or trips or just traveling through the state to get from one state to the other.
And Lord love them, they don't know where they're going. They, you know, they may slow down. They don't know if they're making a left or a right. I mean, they actually are a little bit lost.
And then you get nice roads and nice days. That's coupled with high speeds.
Speed up.
Yeah. So all of those things are factors.
What about DUIs? Are those numbers trending up or trending down?
In terms of like our agency over the past couple years, they have trended downwards. But what I had noticed last time I was on the show is our fatality crash numbers for this district, District 1, were down. Even though state numbers seem to have been going up, the numbers were trending downwards up here. And, you know, I have to believe that's because of the task force and the,
yes,
the DUI investigations, the arrests that we're making to get these people, dangerous people, off the roadway. But this year, just for the Idaho State Police in District 1, so our five northern counties, we've had approximately 61 DUI investigations. So there could be one or two that I'm missing in my calculation.
You know, because I'm old school or just old or something, DUIs always mean alcohol to me. But are you seeing more DUIs from alcohol or more DUIs because of drug-related?
You know, I don't have our numbers to say which one is higher right now, but I can certainly tell you that we do get a lot of drug DUIs. You know, fentanyl is very prevalent throughout the entire country, but it's also, it is here. We have seen, I mean, countless cases of fentanyl pills or fentanyl powder. It is in our area. So we're seeing those marijuana DUIs. Well, you know, I get a lot of people might use it in states where it's legal. That's one thing. You want to go do that? That's fine. But I would ask that you do not use marijuana and drive because it is dangerous. And we mm-hmm. have had numerous marijuana cases of impaired driving. Yeah. All the other drugs, and you can imagine, you know, people are using them and getting them behind the wheel. So it's not always alcohol.
Right.
It's just impaired driving.
Exactly.
So it could be from lots of different factors.
Yeah, exactly. And you guys see it every day.
Absolutely.
I mean, you see it every day.
Yeah, and we have certain ways to try to combat that, right? We have drug recognition experts that can do further tests on these people once they've been investigated. We have law enforcement phlebotomists. So now instead of taking someone to the hospital to get a blood draw, we have law enforcement officers that are trained phlebotomists that can pull that or draw that blood right there at the jail or office or wherever is deemed a safe location.
That is so good. All right. We are up against our last break. We're going to take that break right now. We'll be back.
For almost 100 years, Adams Tractor has been your trusted partner, helping farmers, homeowners, and businesses thrive with the best equipment, service, parts, and support. Whether you're plowing fields or tackling a weekend project, we bring the power of the number one selling Kubota tractors right to your doorstep. Adams Tractor, a name you can trust, built on 95 years of experience, dedication, and a passion for our community. Get your Kubota at one of our five locations today or visit us online at adamstractor.com.
Albertson Barlow Insurance Services in Sandpoint is your trusted, independent, locally owned and operated full-service insurance company. Scott and Ty understand that insurance these days can get confusing. They're here to assist you through the process and explain your options clearly, providing you and your family the right coverage for every need. Life, health, property, auto, and more. Contact Albertson Barlow Insurance in the old Powerhouse building, online at Albertson Barlow Insurance Services.
Her name was Miss Popowell, one of the most empowering, wonderful, careful, compassionate teachers I've ever had. And I realized, like, wow, she's putting in all these extra hours for us, for me. That even if you might not be having the best day, you can still show up for others. And to be able to provide that for the community where I live is, it's awesome, you know. My name is Ryan Pegg, the director of Boise Rock School, and I am resilient because I'm an educator.
Share your story at IdahoEA.org and learn more about how you can support public schools.
Serving my country required sacrifice. Sacrifice that changed my life forever. I remember the day I came home. Because of my injuries, this house wasn't right for me anymore. I remember the narrow doorways, the small bathrooms, the shelves out of reach when in my wheelchair. Every day was full of obstacles. I felt trapped. I remember a better day. The day my family received a specially adapted custom home from Homes for Our Troops. That day changed everything. Now we have a safe and accessible home to enjoy the freedom I fought for. This place, our home, is exactly what we needed to rebuild our lives.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans and enables them to rebuild their lives. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
Flu season is here, and an annual flu shot remains the best protection for you and your family against the flu. Your health plan covers the cost. The American Academy of Family Physicians urges you to make an appointment for your family to get vaccinated against the flu. It's also a good time to ask your family physician about getting caught up with any routine or recommended vaccinations. Learn more at familydoctor.org/flu. A message from the American Academy of Family Physicians and furnished by United Healthcare.
News Talk 97.1.
Hey everybody, thanks again for being with us. You know, we love it when you take us along for a ride along with you guys, or a ride along in your office or wherever you are listening today. We've got a great program with Idaho State Police Officer Sergeant Justin Scotch, and he is giving us tons of good information about what's going on out there and how to stay safe. And really, honestly, every time I talk to you, Justin, about the training and the academy and the just the presence of what the officers are doing, I am always so impressed to learn what it's really about. And I keep going back to the customer service, but it's also just that approach to keep people safe. And it's not to necessarily punish unless it's needed, but to intervene in a way that keeps us safe out there. I like that a lot.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's talk about what did I say was on my list? Okay. Big pause here. I know what it is. Thank you. Investigations. I mean, we hear about the crashes. We hear about, you know, the people go to the hospital or they go home, praise God. But then there's follow-up to that crash. And I think that's the part that people don't think of when they think of the ISP. So what happens after the crash?
Well, it depends on the severity of the crash. Obviously, you know, minor fender bender, let's say it's a two-vehicle rear-end collision, which seems to be, you know, very common, a common occurrence type of crash. So we'll handle most of the investigation on scene, right? We'll take our photographs. We'll fill out our documentation. We'll do an exchange form. So if there's two vehicles involved, and let's just say just a driver in each vehicle, no occupants, we'll provide each driver an exchange of information form just so they have each other's insurance information. Tickets or citations might be issued, and that's pretty much, I would say, the end of the investigation on top of taking the photographs. And then we get back to our office, or we can complete it in our car, but we'll do the it's called a e-impact. It's an Idaho vehicle collision report that gets sent electronically to the transportation department, and then we'll do any finalization on our paperwork, and that case is done. But let's say you have a bigger case, such as a fatality crash. Everybody thinks, you know, it's got to be done right now. It's like, no, we have a lot of investigation that goes into it. We'll typically have meetings where all of the involved personnel will meet, along with maybe some of our detectives who can assist with some of drafting some warrants or things of that nature. And that's where the investigation really begins. We'll start canvassing the area for any kind of camera footage.
And when
footage.
You say we, are you talking about patrol officers, or there's another group like the detectives? They're the ones that are interviewing witnesses or looking for vehicle cam recording videos, or who is doing the investigating that point?
Yeah, typically our patrol troopers will be doing crash investigations. We do have a detective division. They will pretty much assist us primarily on collisions. So they'll help us with drafting warrants for vehicles, and that might be to grab the airbag control module, which can show us certain information. Potentially it can show us, you know, average speed prior to the crash, or other factors of the electronic device in the vehicle. But the troopers are the ones that are typically going to be doing the patrol function on that, investigation function. So again, canvassing the area for cameras, interviewing personnel, measuring the scene. You know, we can do it with tape measures, but it's so much more, accurate to use a laser. So we have laser measuring devices. We also have unmanned aerial systems. So basically drone for short. We have drones that can come up and take, 400 foot high photograph and video of the scene. And also they can measure using those, drones. So it's really interesting what we can do, but all of that goes afterwards. You know, the biggest thing I see in the public, and I try to explain this to them, is let's say we have an impairment related crash and the person that was at fault that might be impaired, they don't get arrested right away. And I understand that can be so frustrating. Like, trust me, I get it. But they might be in the hospital, so we can't just rip them out of their hospital bed and, you know, arrest them and take them to jail. But the other thing too is the physicality, the method of putting someone in handcuffs. Like, I get that that feels good to the public, but the biggest thing is getting a complete investigation done and then going and providing a full packet to the prosecutor's office. These people are still going to be held accountable, but we just make sure we have all of the investigation completed and our ducks in a row. Because the minute we put handcuffs on someone at fault for a serious collision like that, the clock starts for the legal process. Mm-hmm. So if we can get everything done, then we can give the court in the prosecutor's office the best case available at the time. And then we're ready for the end, for the court case.
Exactly, because you, the troopers, you're not the judge and jury and prosecutors and defense attorneys. You're the ones that are providing the information to see if the prosecutor even wants to go forward.
Right. We are the fact finder. Yeah,
exactly.
We might make an arrest decision, but that doesn't mean the person's guilty, right? Innocent until...
Totally.
Proven guilty. So,
as it should be.
That's why it's the biggest thing I try to tell the public, because we'll get calls, why didn't they get arrested? Like, I get it. Trust me.
Right.
I think they should have been arrested too, but we have other things we have to investigate first. They're still going to be held accountable. It's just the act of bringing them to jail and giving them the ability to bond out, right? Because these people could be brought to jail and then bond out 5 minutes later. So it's all about the investigation. That's where we do our best work.
You kind of mentioned in this last answer on investigating, we've got like a couple of minutes max, so here.
Okay.
But I'd like people to understand the technology.
Sure.
I was so blown away with the technology in your vehicle, the computers, and how everything has got to be entered into computers, into computers, into computers.
Right.
It's really, there is a lot of technology in what you do. Is that correct?
There is. And we have a lot of equipment. A lot of equipment, but just thinking about what's in my car, right? I have my radar device, right? I have a LIDAR, which is light detection and ranging. So I have my radar, which uses radio waves to check vehicle speed.
Front, back, and sideways, I'm
thinking. Yeah, front and back. And then I have the LIDAR, right? So people have seen like the old LIDAR guns, laser gun kind of thing. Mine's a little bit more compact, like a pair of binoculars. But that's just some of the technology, right? I have a printer in my car. I have a laptop, which I can do everything on. I have a LifeLock instrument, which I can have someone blow into and get their breath alcohol content during a DUI investigation. I mean, obviously, I have all my weapons in my car. I have my rifle and then everything on my person, right? So I'm about 30 pounds heavier with all the gear I carry.
You carry a lot of gear.
And we have a lot of technology on our belts, right? I have the new X10 Taser. I have baton, pistol with a red dot on it, so it has an electronic device on it and a light and handcuffs and all of these things. So we do. And I carry a cell phone. I have two cell phones, so there's technology. And we use our cell phone for a lot of stuff now. We take our photos from our scenes. We, you know, do everything from our cell phone now these days. So technology certainly makes it easier in some aspects.
In some ways.
But then we also carry two or three cell phones every day. So it's just depends on the way you look at it.
But. I know. I think that's just a part of what I learned. I learned so much being with you. I thank you again for that experience.
Absolutely. Glad you could do it.
Thank you. There was just so much that I didn't intuitively know. You just don't know. So a heads up to anybody out there that's thinking about making that application to consider Idaho State Police as a career course for you, and you're a techie, you're going to be exactly where you want to be. All right, that's it. We are out of time incredibly. Sergeant Justin Scotch, thank you as always for the information you share with our audience. audience.
Absolutely. It was great being here, and I'm sure we'll do it again.
Yes, indeed. Next week, I invite you all back. We'll be spending time with the East Bonner County Library. It's a new program called Curious Conversations, which is actually also called like a living library, where the book you're getting is actually a human being. And it's like under the heading of Everybody's Got a Story. So come on back for that. It's interesting. It's a good thing. And it's new at our library. So until next Tuesday, this is Barbara saying please take care, slow down out there, and love each other. May God richly bless you, my friends.